Chapter 1. Chook, it's an entire army. Sam looked worried, not for her safety or that of her partner, but for all the misguided people who had taken up arms against them. Normally, when they paired up, Sam would take care of the actual battle while Chook filled out the paperwork, filmed the action, updated their social media, and kept the public safe. He was her backup since her abilities and temperament were geared towards keeping their enemies both alive and sane. Chook was only capable of one or the other, and so only fought when numbers were against her. "You could call up your wolves, or the moose," Chook responded, his head behind the computer. Sam sighed. "I don't like putting the animals in unnecessary danger. They're my friends." "Friends you can command," Chook whispered. He dodged a vicious peck from a chickadee. "You know you love me," he smiled, standing up and stretching, his long frame uncurling from the park bench he had settled upon. He looked to the approaching army without a single trace of concern on his face. "Fine, I'll take the army. You look for the leader and do the whole justice thing you like doing." He sported a pair of black and white headphones, the signature yin-yang patterns unmissable around his neck. His clothes, dripping with taste and luxury, sat well on his slender frame. She entered the role of superhero in a more stereotypical way, with her long hair draped behind her, a camisole leaving her arms flexible with movement, and leggings allowing her full range of motion. "It's not the whole justice thing. Chloe asked that we bring them to authorities alive if possible," Sam sighed. "Also, deal," she said as she climbed onto the back of her chestnut brown horse and spurred her into a gallop. She called to the eagles, her eyes in the sky, as she sped into the thicket of trees, away from the ridiculously large gathering of soldiers. Chook started walking forward. Each soldier looked as serious as the next one, all wielding archaic weapons, spears, swords, hammers, and axes. This villain caught them from the past, and while they're not certain of his goal, the villain had killed many campers and parkgoers, scaring people into staying at home and abandoning nature. Chook put on his headphones, pulled out a gun from the blazer he was wearing, and as soon as the army was within fire distance, he started shooting. The gun was loaded with syringes, each containing a different compound. As a poison expert, he enjoyed using his battles as a chance to run what would normally be considered unethical experiments to observe the effects of the various concoction he came up with. As the ammunition made contact, he was there writing notes, holding a stopwatch to monitor how long it took for the effects to begin and recording his observations. He continued shooting, releasing an unending barrage of syringes while he ran around making notes. There were two of him, two identical tall, dark-skinned figures in constant motion, one shooting, one taking notes, and the warriors were reacting. They were all running at him, but Chook was agile. He seemed to be dancing as he dodged each jab of the lance, jumped above the swing of the sword, and sang with the eternal movement of over 1,000 men. He started laughing as the ecstasy of the thrill invaded his body, loud and echoing. Sam could hear the reverberations throughout the land. She smiled to herself. At least Chook was having fun. It is when the laughter stopped that the world should be worried. She had to find this time traveler before things got bad. Chook was currently using his science and curiosity, but if he unleashes his power, the repercussion would take a while to deal with. She heard the call of an eagle alerting her to some odd behavior. She whispered into the ear of her majestic mare as she turned towards the direction of the call. She could feel the spirit of the forest with her, the eyes of every animal on her, supporting her, encouraging her, lending her their strength as she merged with her horse, urging her on to go ever faster. As she escaped the tree cover and was once again in plain sight, she saw the immense army covering towards a central point, most likely Chook. As she could hear screams of pain, agony, and fear coming from there. To avoid being spotted by straggling soldiers, she called to the heavens and leaped, feeling the spirit of the rabbit invade her and push her on higher. Then she heard the mocking of the ravens as they collectively lifted her in the air and continued to carry her to where the eagle was waiting. There she saw a man short, stubby, and dressed in a suit. His clothes suggesting money, but his lack of hair hinting at the novelty of his riches. He did not fit in this picture. The army had thus far killed every human that had come across, and he was certainly not in the army. "Good job," she complimented the eagle. This man was truly suspicious and potentially the source of all this madness. "Hey, you there!" she called out. The man looked up startled, both because someone was able to reach him and because there was a woman being lifted by a mass of black squawking. The bird slowly lowered her to the ground where a moose came bounding to her side. "Who are you? What are you doing here? Why are you alive?" The man threw a barrage of questions her way. Sam noted a golden watch on his wrist, and it was emitting an airy blue light. He pulled out a gun and pointed at her. "Regardless, I would avoid moving if I were you." Sam held her hands up, her wavy hair slowly moving with the wind. Although calm, she found fear, hoping to keep him from firing and thus remaining in a hostage situation. On the other side of the plane, Chuck was getting bored. The soldiers just kept coming with no end. They were human, the much he knew, but it was like their minds were being controlled so their fear wasn't stopping them from approaching him. Lost in a moment of thought, he narrowly dodged a spear, but it cut his blazer nonetheless and tore through it. "That was $500, and I got it on sale." He was unimpressed. He had stopped laughing, but his smile widened, showing every tooth in his mouth. His eyes turned pitch black as tears thick as tar started to drip. "Bow to me, vermin," Chuck ordered, his voice suddenly cold and quiet. Sam noticed the lack of laughter. "Crap, I have to hurry." She decided to be more direct. "If you do not surrender to me now, you will die," Sam warned. She could sense the animals fleeing. There was a twinge of death in the air. The man seemed oblivious to the subtle changes in his immediate environment and shot at her. Sam, switching to hummingbird mode, dodged faster than the untrained eye could see. Then calling the strength and agility of the grizzly bear, she knocked him out with one swift punch before he could assess his circumstances. She called to a moose, asking if she could use its body to transport the unconscious man. As the animal stood there, Sam, still manifesting the spirit of the bear, lifted the culprit onto the back of the moose and whistled for her horse to come and find them. She came at her at full gallop, and without asking her to slow down, Sam jumped onto her back, using their mutual bond, forged over the years that they had known each other, to precisely time the mount and fall into position. They headed towards the park clearing, to Choke's location. As the trees parted, a grim scene was revealed. The grass was rotting, the ground felt sticky and wet, as though it was becoming a bog. All the trees within the clearing were emitting a decaying smell as branches fell down. In the center of this macabre scene was Chuck. Around him were a series of corpses, the bodies of dead men on their knees, as if asking for forgiveness, and they had clearly not been pardoned. Upon noting Sam in the distance, Chuck smiled a big toothy grin and waved. "I see you caught the bad guy," he called out, his voice traveling the distance. Sam smiled back, relieved that the death had been contained to the clearing. "Chuck, you do realize you have to fix all this, right?" He groaned in response. He started to tear up again, but this time, his tears were white, like the light of an angel. As each tear hit the ground, so did the earth heal. The grass looked lush, green, and healthy again. The trees untwisted and regained their leaves, and the soil felt more solid. Sam, in the presence of the healing, felt awash with rejuvenation. Unfortunately, so did the unconscious man on the back of the moose. He started to stir, wiggling as his body felt more alive. The moose was not having it, panicked and bucked him off, then in one swift move, crushed his skull with his hooves. Sam screamed, and Chuck broke down into trembling waves of laughter. "It wasn't my fault this time." He struggled to push the words through his leaves of entertainment. Sam stood there in shock. "Damn it, almost got him to the police alive, and well this time too,"